Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
Lovely. Oh, so fun. You guys doing okay? Are you ready to continue to grow? I'm like, oh, we're just getting started. How many people were here for Eric's message last week? It was such a good message on money, on generosity, and I just feel thankful. You know, we moved over here. It's almost been 3 years. In June, it'll be 3 years that we've been here. And just every time that I leave and come back, I love how full of gratitude my heart is when I look out the window and see the greenery and then just landing in the Carolinas. It's just a beautiful landscape. There's beautiful people. And I just think, Lord, thank you for where you allow us to live and be. And then to be able to build this community of believers as we're following Jesus. We don't want to stay where we're at and stay the same people. We want to grow. We want to step into who God's created us to be. But we want to continue to look more like our Father. And to do that, we're learning things, we're applying things to our lives. And the beautiful thing, you hear the word community a lot today, because we weren't meant to live alone. And as we live out truth, we want to do that together. And there's different parts of God that we get to access and step into when we live together. There's like a rub, we sharpen each other. And so we feel thankful to be here with you and to be growing with you. And then even doing this generosity series is a very intentional thing that we are going after. Because as we're building, there's like different layers in a foundation. And this feels like a very foundational thing for us as a community and a people. Because we're not doing this just so we can meet today or even this year. Like we're actually building a legacy that we want to go on and roots that are going to go deep. Because deep things last a long time. And it doesn't matter what comes and no matter what storms or wind, deep things with deep roots can withstand that. And so this is why we're going after this stuff. And, you know, Eric's big thing that he asked last week was, what is our relationship with money? That was an interesting question. If you didn't listen to it or if you weren't here, I encourage you can go find it on our podcast. But that was a very interesting way to even begin talking about stewardship and just the ability that we have. It's this thing that flows through our hands and it's money. It's a tool. It's a seed. It's something that we use to invest. But even as Jeremy was doing our offering, you know, we love to give. We give tithe. We give offering. And often when we do the offering or take that, we pray over it and we'll say, put your hand on your money or your wallet or your phone, whatever you give from. And I always, and Eric makes fun of me or even just makes reference to it at some point, is I just put my hand on my heart because I believe that everything I do flows from that space. And so the money is just something that goes through my hand. But I really want to grow this spirit and the heart that God has given me. So no matter what he gives me, it's going to flow from that place. Because I want to live free-flowing from heaven. Like, Lord, whatever happens, it's not going to stop with me. It's actually going to increase with me. Because that's what I read when I read the Bible. The good stewards are the ones that what was given to them, they actually increased it. I'm like, how can God learn to trust us? Oh, Lord, grow me as a steward of the things that you give me. And I know Eric talked about money, but it goes much wider and larger than that. I believe that it is involved in our talents. It's involved with our time and any resources that we have. And money is just probably one of the larger ones. It impacts our life. It allows us to do things. I mean, even starting studio, it takes money to start a church. Like even with all of us, our families and hosting everything, needing the money to rent buildings and to take care of volunteers and to all this sound equipment, we are definitely learning how much things cost. And it's been great to be to give God honor. We have not lacked in any area one bit financially at Studio. We have always had more than enough. I'm very thankful. Yeah, it's crazy when you say yes to God. It involves risk because you really don't know what's going to happen. We're talking about trusting God. You're like, oh, who actually holds everything in their hands? I'm like, oh, I believe God does. But we learn a lot about what we truly believe and what where our trust is when things happen. And it's how we respond where we learn a lot. So today I'm going to continue. This is part two of generosity series. And I am going to talk about just the role that obedience plays, generosity, and then faith as well, that we'd be a people that know how to walk in faith in the area of generosity and stewardship. I want to start with Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. So quite a few verses. Indeed talked as she transitioned worship. We got to hear a little bit of the heart of this and even the songs that we're singing. But we're going to start in verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats overflow with new wine." What a beautiful scripture right here. I love truth. I'm a Proverbs lady, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. I'm like, yes, Lord, add to it. Add that inside of me. May I be wise. May I grow in knowledge and understanding all the days of my life. So we're looking at Proverbs here, and there's so much truth in this verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust is easy to talk about, read about. It is another thing to actually live. We're praying for each other because many of us are on different journeys of trust. It's one thing when you already have experienced something. I'm like, yeah, yesterday was great. God was so good and totally provided everything. Now we're going to start a new adventure. I wonder how it's going to turn out. Because he's God and we are not. Sometimes, you know, we watch it with the Israelites. It's like age-old humanity. It's like, oh, God is delivering us. He has a promised land for us. And then they got to go around in the wilderness. God provided, and it wasn't what they wanted. And then you get to see how they respond. I'm like, I would never do that. Yep, and then we look at our lives, and we get to see how we respond when things don't turn out like what we think. Like, Lord, teach us to trust you. But to be able to trust God, we actually need to know and believe in the goodness of God. Like, is God so good that he would hold me even when it looks like it's not going to work out? Is God so good, and is he so sovereign that he would be able to restore what looks like it could never be restored, that it's so broken? And so we sing about it in worship because we know our words are powerful. But I declare it over people, and then it's another thing to just put one foot in front of the other, and then sometimes even just to be able to stand. So as we talk about generosity, just the ability to trust and obey him. And I love going back to that same verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In some translation, it says submit, but acknowledge is actually to know God in everything that we're doing. This is huge because if we were to know him and know his goodness, it would impact how we respond. Even when we're like, I wonder how I'm going to pay rent. I'm like, okay, what is mine? What is God's? And who is he? Would I know God in everything that I'm doing? And he would direct my paths. And then the next couple of verses, there's actually promise in there. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And so as we follow God, I love to take his promises and just thank him for them. Thank you, Lord, that we are full of health when we follow you. Thank you, Lord, that you do add strength to us as we acknowledge you in all of our ways, but as we walk in wisdom. And that is not just for me, it is for my household as well. And I actually declare that over studio as well. When we were worshiping, I'm like, oh, I just declare the faithfulness of God over that section and that section and that section. Because as we know the authority that we have in Christ, I'm like, and the power of our words, as your pastor, that's what I'm declaring over your life, is that God's faithful in your story. And he says, honor the Lord with your possessions. That's anything that flows through these hands, anything that he's given us. How do we honor God with who he's created us to be and what he has given us? And I love the promise that comes with, and with the first fruits of your increase, and here's the promise, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Many of us don't have barns anymore. I haven't made wine. I don't have any vats, but I know that it holds new wine. And saying that the stuff that I do have, God will provide more than enough. if I would honor him with my possessions. This is all foundational stuff as we're following Christ. If we can get this, guys, I believe he will trust us with more things. There's more things that we'll be able to step into and walk in. When we were in our probably third year of marriage, I remember we had kids at this time. So we were third year of marriage. Our daughters were really young. And the thing about that season is we were young, our kids were young, and Eric was a youth pastor at Mountain Chapel with Danny and Sherry Silk. We were both youth pastoring. And it was a season where when we did our budgets, it was like on paper, we didn't make, I think we were like short just a couple hundred every month from what our expenses were. And we weren't living extravagant, lavish, large, but it was just, I chose to not go to work so I could stay home with our daughters. And with that, I'm like, well, we'll just figure it out. Well, we did. Like when birthdays would come around, you're like, what can I make you? You know, it's just what it is. And God was so good through all of it. We never went into debt. There was always enough, and we just, that was just what that season was. And there was a time a tax return was coming. I think it was like $500, and we were so excited because $500 were coming our way, which is a lot when you're, you know, you're just making it each month. And we wanted to do, I think, redo the railing on the front of our house. We were so excited. I remember we were talking, we should go do it. We know the tax return is coming. We'll just go buy the wood. And I'm like, no, we need to wait till we get the money. It's not okay to spend money that you don't have, even though you know it's coming. And so I was so thankful that we didn't go buy the wood because right before the money came, I'm driving. We had a Chevy Blazer, and then it started making noise. And I was like, no. No, come on. And I'm like, please, Lord, let it not be very much. Let it be something so small. We just forgot to turn this knob. I don't know. And so we take the car in, and guess how much the bill was? It was like $459 or $78. I was something like basically took all that money, and it was like, I feel so robbed. Like, I was going to do something good with that money, and now I have to fix this car. And so this is like, in that month, Eric and I were talking to this old man who is very wealthy, very wise, and he was like a grandfather's age to us. And we were sharing, why does it always seem like every time we get a little extra, like stuff just comes up, and it just takes, and we just feel robbed. And he's listening, and he says, well, every time that I have bills, I just thank God that I have the money to pay them. I was like, oh. There's another way I could approach this. But it was so good for us to hear that it was wisdom. Instead of going to complaining, he just said, I just thank God that I actually have the money to pay the bill. And you know what the truth was? We had the money to pay the bill for our car. We fixed our Chevy Blazer and it all worked out. But I learned something great. The power of gratitude in a space of stewardship and generosity. Like we have visions of what we want and desires, but at the end and the beginning of the day, thank you, Lord, that you have provided. And I believe that is something for humanity. Like that's what you read through the Bible is like the complaining and it all goes a little wonky when we start not being thankful for what he has given us. Because it's the God of Psalms 23 that he is the great shepherd, thanks Adam, that he does walk with us through the valley, but he also prepares a table before us, even in the presence of our enemies. He is a God who provides. And so we, as his children, we want to have the eyes to see what he's providing and then the courage and the humility to eat what he's providing and to be thankful. So these are just good things, guys. We're going to grow in these. So generosity. I found this definition of generosity I thought was awesome. Generosity is the spirit and action of freely and frequently giving to others. Generosity can also refer to an overall spirit of kindness. Readiness or liberality in giving, freedom from meanness or smallness of mind or character. I'm like, I like that one. I'm like, ooh, let us be generous. It's largeness or fullness, amplitude. Let us be generous people. It's that more than enough. It's something large. I love it. It's free from mindless meanness or smallness of mind. Lord, let us not be people with smallness of mind. Like even the way that we think about things, like I wonder how this is going to turn out. I wonder how God will provide. Well, let us not be smallness in mind when we think about that and knowing who he is, because he is a great God. He is a provider. Matthew 10, this scripture, I love. Jesus is getting ready to send out his disciples and 12 disciples. And this is one of the last instructions that he gives them as he's sending out. He says, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely you give. I believe that this is generosity for us to live in freedom, but it wasn't just meant for ourselves. That we would be people that whatever God does in us, that it flows through us. One of my favorite things is hearing, like, when I ask people, why are you a counselor? Why did you end up doing therapy? And they go, well, you know, let me tell you my story. See, when I grew up, I went through a lot of trauma, and basically the deck was stacked against me, but God. And then the same thing that they experience, the level of healing, they're like, and I actually want to be a part of that in other people's lives. That's why I do what I do. I'm like, I love it. I love hearing people's stories. And oftentimes, when you ask people why they do what they do, it's because of how things happen to them. That we would give out of that space is the most beautiful thing. So inspiring. But even what God has done in our lives, so this is why I'm kind of wanting to expand us. When we talk about generosity and giving, it's not just money. I actually believe that sometimes the most interesting things happen in the not just money space. When we actually give our time, it touches things and changes things inside of us. Do you know that there's the science of, or in the psychology of money, and there's science of generosity and money, that it actually increases people's happiness? There's been studies done where people were given money, and they're like, half of the group, there was a group of like 50 people, half of them, they said, we want you to actually use this money to go do something for somebody else. And the other half, you can buy whatever you want. Well, when they checked in after it was all said and done, guess who we said, we actually, this impacted our lives in such a big way. Who I am, the level of anxiety, my happiness, all the way around. Generosity impacts who we are. So I think it happens in money, but I also have seen it over and over again with our talents, with our time. If you want to not stay the same person who you are, just choose to be generous. Choose to give something that you have. This is foundational stuff. My favorite thing as well is, and this one, favorite meaning it's so costly, but so beautiful, is sacrificial generosity. The most humbling, it is, well, sacrificial meaning that it's actually going to cost me. I'm going to go without in the areas because I'm choosing to give it to you instead. And some of the most humbling things that happened to me is people in spaces where I know they have less than me, or I know they're on a fixed income and they choose to give me money. I remember even being in college, even being young married, and people being so generous to us that I'm like, please don't give this to me. Like it was the hardest thing for me to receive because it came out of a place of sacrifice and I knew it. And they were so happy to give it. And you know what? I know that God blessed them way more than they could have ever blessed me. Eric talked about going on missions trips. I have my own same stories of when I was 18, I did YWAM in Colombia, and we went to Cuba in 94, which happened to be the same year that the economy was collapsing and people were getting on rafts and going to Florida because they would rather take the risk of dying in the ocean than staying where they're at because it was so bad. And I went to Cuba during that time for a month, and YWAM was looking to start an underground church there, so we were doing some kind of preparatory work. And it was so humbling because, like, there was nothing in the stores to buy. They were just trading stuff on the black market. And then we would go to people's houses, and they were having, like, here's some lobster, which was illegal to eat there. It was of the state. And so I knew they could go to jail if they got caught. And I'm like, why do you guys give us this kind of food? And I'm, please, I don't want you to go to jail for me. And then we would go to people's houses. And we brought a pig off the black market when we got there so that we could have food to bring where we were because there wasn't food for around. And I stayed with the family for 2 weeks, and they would make us, there was three of us that stayed there, and they would have us sit at the table with like two of them, and the rest of them would sit back in the kitchen. And they're like, no, just eat. This is so good. And I'm like, when are they going to eat? They're like, oh, when you're done. And the truth of it was because there wasn't enough for everybody, but they wanted to make sure we got as much as we wanted until, and then they would eat whatever is left. And I'm like, this is not very fun. This sacrificial generosity thing, being on one side of it, so that's the that's the humbling part. And then there's the scary part of sacrificial generosity. And I like to bring this up because it sounds so beautiful, and then you get to do it or see it. We had a family in Weaverville, and they did foster care, and they did emergency foster care. If someone had an emergency, they would just go to the hospital and pick the kids or the baby up so they could be taken care of for the night. Well, they picked this baby up right after he was born, and there was a really sad situation with mom, and they just had him, I think, for like 4 months. They loved him. They would have taken him in a heartbeat. He wasn't available for adoption because you want to reunite them with the family where possible. But our whole community just loved on this baby. And then at 4 months old, the courts decided to put him back with his family. The thing about it was his family, his mom and stuff, wasn't really in a good situation. And so they loved him like he was their own. And then I got to watch that they had to give him back into a situation where he wasn't going to be taken care of. And I was like, this is horrible. It's like, rip your heart out. And they gave him back, and we got to walk with them as they were sobbing and devastated, and their hearts were broken. And then, like, of course, 2 months later, a month and a half later, the baby was so not doing good because of mom and dad. That was such a bad situation that they had to put him back with them. And they had him for like another year. And so by that time, you just know they were the first caregivers, gave him back once into a situation that they couldn't control and he wasn't getting taken care of, and you knew it. And then they took him back, loved on him, would have fought for him to the end. But then they replaced him again a year later back with the family. It was the most gut-wrenching thing to walk through and to go, this is love. They are actually being loved to this little boy, and they had to watch and know that he was getting put back in the situation. You're just like, thank you, Lord, for the sacrificial generosity and the sacrificial life that they lived, because it wasn't benefiting them. It was just costing them. But do you know what it meant for that little boy? Like, he was being loved and cared for. So I just honor sacrificial generosity and know that it's just so powerful. Eric mentioned last week our experience at Bethel in the beginning of, Bill and Benny moved to Reading, and revival, renewal, stuff was beginning just to happen. It was just so beautiful what God was doing there. He's just pouring out his spirit. People were getting healed. And one of the first big things that got laid in that foundation was generosity. And he talked about Rodney Howard Brown, even his brother Basil. They were becoming crazy men. But a lot of things were crazy there. And he would speak on the offering for an hour. I mean, it was just weird. It was also amazing. It was just a lot of things. It was very long, but it was right. And then there was the big offering that he made reference to this last weekend when he was speaking. And the offering is when people just, you couldn't hold back. Like, people just wanted to give everything they had, and they threw their watches and jackets, whatever was valuable on the stage at that time. But I tell you, that marked the people at Bethel, that level of generosity. Like, what I have, I just want to give it away. And it was that level of giving, I believe, that laid the foundation for God blessing Bethel and being able to trust Bethel with his spirit, with his gifts, with what he was doing in the earth, because they wouldn't keep it and hoard it, but actually give it away. And so this message and truth of generosity is a really big thing. And it really is the heart of God. For God so loved the world that he gave. There is something about the giving, but also giving and knowing that we know who he is, that we wouldn't hold back or fear, because he provides, because we know who he is. And I believe he's calling us into this space. And don't be offended. Like, it's not just about money. You know, some of the most generous people are all the ones who show up and help you clean your house when you have to move. I'm like, you had to clean your own house and you're going to come clean mine. Thank you. You know, and it's those things, maybe no one else will ever know, but they're the most beautiful fragrance that comes off of our lives. And then there's generosity when we partner in faith. And this one is so powerful. Faith is powerful. And it's like faith is actually knowing and believing something.
And so when we give in a space of knowing who he is, it's like it's not just money and talents and time, but it actually gets exponentially more powerful. Because there's things in life that we can do. I'm like, well, I can get up at this time in the morning. I can work out. I can go make money and then choose to do what I want with that money. And then there's things that God can do. And I've seen it over and over again. And I just want to say, don't ever underestimate what God can do. And I say that over your stories, over your season. But that's part of us living in faith and believing that we wouldn't just live by our own means, but actually know that there is a God factor, that he can use anything. And I love, we see it in Matthew 14, chapter 14. We're going to read quite a few verses, but it's so beautiful. And I think there's something for us to learn here. We're going to start in verse 13. I'm reading in the NIV version. Verse 13, when Jesus heard what had happened, because John the Baptist was beheaded. So this is what Jesus does when his friends get beheaded. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. See, Jesus was God, but he was also human. I think about his humanity in this moment. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. This is what Jesus did, even when he was grieving and walking through a friend getting beheaded. He had compassion on them and healed the sick. What a beautiful response. It continues verse 16 or 15. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it is already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "You don't need them to go away. You give them something to eat." Let me stop for a moment. I can totally picture this. You know, I'm a good steward. I'm a detail person. I'd be the one looking around being like, we don't have enough stuff. What's the plan here? You know, let's send them away. Like, doesn't that sound like a good idea? It does. It does sound like a good idea. But God, that's why I'm like, I don't ever want us to underestimate God and knowing who he is. And he said, you give him something to eat. And here's the response. "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. When God invites us into something, even when it doesn't make sense, don't be thrown off. We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That is in the logic and reason. Like, this makes sense. This is what we have. That's okay. Have the people sit down and bring the stuff to me. One of the things I'm learning here is the best thing we can do is to give God what we have, because that's the starting place. Because look what happens after this. They sit down on the grass. He takes the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. I love even the progression of that. He takes it, breaks it, gives thanks, and then he gives them to the disciples, and they give them to the people. That free flow from heaven. I'm like, oh, take what you have, give it to God, and then watch him work through you. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men besides women and children. That is amazing. We never need to underestimate what God can do when we give him what we have. The problem is sometimes we get overwhelmed by the need and what we have because it doesn't match. And it's exactly what happened here. I mean, how many times you look around and you're like, that's overwhelming. How many kids need to eat? What problems there are around us? And in the overwhelmingness, oftentimes we're paralyzed. Like, why didn't you do anything? Why I only had this? I only had my time, only my day. What could I do? And I want to challenge us in our faith levels. What if we took what we had and actually believed, like, God, if I give you what I have, that you would make it more than enough for the need that there is? What if studio were full of those kind of people? What if we were that kind of people? What would happen to your family? Or what would happen to our neighbors or our city or our workplace? How did God provide? He started with what they had. I think it's us knowing
what is God's part and what is my part? We pray for people and counsel people, and often you can see they're carrying the weight of everything. And I'm like, okay, I know stuff is wrong and stuff is hard in your family, but what is your responsibility? Because we're not God, and we can't carry the weight of his role. He's the provider and the healer and the restorer. And we just get to ask, Lord, what do I do in this situation? What is mine? What can you start with? What can I do? And then in closing, I want to ask a couple questions. Because see, we're doing this to actually provoke you, to show you what's in the word even around this topic. But then even to provoke you, because I hope we never just go to church and just listen. I hope there's something from today that we could take, chew on, and even bring before the Lord and start a conversation even with God. So my questions to us to even begin to think about and to pray about is, what do I have to give? We sit here and we do life, and I know you guys are so generous. I hear things that you're doing that just inspire me. So I love it. But like, what's inside of our hands? That's one of the most powerful things that we have. And it's really sad if our answer is, I don't know what's in my hands. Well, why don't we take some time this week to think, what do I have to give? And then secondly, what would it look like if we lived freely and generously with what God has given us? What would that look like in our lives? So my encouragement is, take some time to do some inventory, checking out and looking at yourself, looking around you. What are the needs that you see? And then what has God already blessed you with? See, I'm inspired. Reva's up here singing and stuff, but do you know what I hear consistently throughout my time knowing Reva? I hear like, oh, yeah, Reva took me to lunch, and it's a teenager. Like, oh, because she's very compassionate, but she also, there's a tenderness in her heart for younger people. And no, it's not her job. She doesn't get paid for it, but she'll randomly pick out people that are struggling and just be all, hey, want to spend some time together? And they just think it's the coolest thing that this Reva Henry, who is so fun to hang out with, just takes the gift that's on her life. And you know that she has a gift of peace on her life and encouragement. She does that and just loves on young people. I'm like, of course you do, Reva. Thank you for being who you are. When Benny was sick with cancer, she had just built this beautiful garden. It was part of her dream, and had planted all the stuff. And then she got cancer and was really sick. And with all the treatments and stuff, she wasn't able to do a lot of stuff. And I remember there was a family at church, and some of you might know them if you went to Bethel, but they just came over and go, we know that she loved this garden, so we're going to weed it for her and take care of it. Do you know that that is not fun? Weeding in the redding heat. And they would be out there when I'd come by, and I'm like, I'm kind of embarrassed. They're out there weeding your garden. But it was something that they could do to love and serve. I'm like, oh, thank you for knowing what you have and what you have to honor and bless someone else. It was so powerful. There's another person I know. She uses her gifts. So she's very thoughtful. She sees things that other people don't see. She's a photographer and makes her one of the best photographers. But one thing she does that a lot of people might not know unless they get one of her cards is, I don't even know, I think she sends like 20 cards or 30 cards a month to people. And she just I will see her around town and she just be like, oh, it was so good seeing your face. I just want to tell you I love you. And I'm just praying, you know, God's favor over your life. And I'm like, why? Why are you sending me these encouraging cards? And that's what she does, is she has a gift of encouragement on her life. And she doesn't just have it in her life. She actually activates it intentionally with those around her. And you know what that means to a lot of people? It actually means life encouraged to a lot of people. Just because she didn't choose to have the gift, she chose to grow it and to have it flow through her to other people. The power of generosity, knowing what's in our hands, and living freely to those around us is so powerful. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to pray. I trust that God is growing us. I trust that he loves us so much that he won't leave us just like we are, that he will complete what he's begun inside of us. He's so good. Why don't you put your hand on your heart? Because we're just going to take a moment to thank God. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you for the heart that you've given us. Thank you for what you've done in our heart. We don't take it lightly and we don't underestimate it. God, thank you for your love and the power of your love. And I pray even now, as we have our hands on our heart, God, that you would touch us and fill us with you.
You are a generous father. You are a provider. You are a good God. I pray that you would undo us with your goodness, that we would be so aware of who you are and what you're doing more than anything else, that we'd be aware of what you're providing and feeding us. Thank you, Lord. And I just thank you, God, for your provision over every single person here. And I pray that you would give them eyes to see what you're providing, but also give them eyes to see what's in their hands, what's in their talent and gift bag as well. Yeah, so I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. And then let's just put our hands out like it's an open hand. I always say, God, I want to live open-handed to you, that whatever you give me, I give right back to you. I'm not going to hold it and hoard it and keep it only to myself. So God, we put our hands in front of you just to say, God, that we love you and we trust you. We trust you and we give what you have given us. I pray that you would show us what's in our hands. God, that you would teach us to live courageously and open-handedly with you and with the people around us. Yeah, so I bless my studio family, Lord. And I pray that you would take our roots so deep into you, God, and that as we look to you and follow you, God, that you would more than provide all of our needs. And that as we give away, that you would increase even more. Yeah, so I just call you, studio family, blessed and highly favored. Thank you, Lord, for my family here. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.